College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some good old-fashioned college basketball. We have a new number one, but I'm seeing a lot of debate online, basketball, college basketball, Twitter. Purdue or Alabama, which one should it be? We also got some feedback, which is, you know, glad for that. Thanks a lot. Kind of challenging me, which is okay. Basically countering the Mountain West is not the best mid-major, and it's actually the AAC and or the Atlantic 10 I got. Got two messages, actually, from it. So we appreciate it. We'll discuss a little bit about that. TCU had a big, big week. Arizona had a good week as well. We'll kind of break down, you know, what happened on Saturday, Sunday, a little bit, leaking into last week as well. And then, of course, we'll preview this week some big games tonight, actually, on the good old Big Monday. We do have Kansas Baylor coming up at 8 Central and in New Mexico, Nevada, not to be biased, you know, towards the Mountain West. But that's coming up at the same time, so I'm definitely going to DVR those and watch those a little bit later after I'm done with this show and my other show. And then, of course, you know, we'll preview the Big 12 and SEC challenge and whatnot, the rest of the upcoming schedule. There's some really interesting games. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. However, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show there directly. You can find this year's College Ball Show that goes all the way to the national championship. Then we get into the NBA playoffs, by the way. You can find this show under the Ropeadope Radio platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and many more. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegrillingtruth.com plus Sports News 24. By the way, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99. They got those two specials going on. You could save $50 if you go with the choice package or above and buy the exclusive DirecTV Stream device. And you can also, with that same package and above, enjoy HBO Max, Showtime, Epix, Stars, and Cinemax for 3 months. 3 months. It's a savings of $160. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, I'll shut up with that. All right, so let's bring in the co-host, Marshall, as we kind of break down, you know, what happened in the last handful of days, especially on Saturday. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. We got it was a very good Saturday, and the Big 12 and the Big East, man, I feel like they're going to be some pretty fun talking points almost weekly. Granted, a lot of conferences are a lot of fun, but as we were saying before the show, the Big 12 and Big East are kind of taking turns beating up on each other as the rankings, either teams go from ranked to unranked or switch spots in the rankings. Those conferences, Chris, have provided a lot of fun basketball these last few weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we'll talk about a variety of stuff, obviously, but TCU had a big week. You know, they beat Kansas State during the week. I think it was, was that on the weekend? And then they beat Kansas early week. I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was Kansas State during the week, 82-68, which is a pretty clean win. And then 83-60, Kansas, one of their worst, one of their worst home losses under, you know, the current stud of a coach there, you know, I mean, in like 20 years or something like that. It was a beatdown. So this Big 12, we'll get into the conference by conference stuff, but that was impressive, man. They beat the you-know-what off them. I thought that stood out for the week, especially Alabama. We were kind of talking about, hey, Missouri looks back. Well, not on last Saturday, 85-64, Alabama. That's part of the debate, not just off that win, but Purdue and Alabama, both, you know, some really good teams as far as the top, you know, marquee stuff. Duke snuck one by against Miami. Charleston kept the ball rolling. That's another team that people were mentioning. Baylor barely got by Oklahoma. We did have some upsets, though. We'll see what's up with Arkansas. They got a win over a struggling Ole Miss team, but we'll see, you know, where they're at overall. But a big one we talked about last week was Arizona. And, you know, how they look good back, you know, around Thanksgiving time and in the non-conference, didn't get off to the start. Whereas UCLA has been looking good just overall. They had a tough schedule as well. Arizona usually schedules pretty tough as well. But Arizona got the job done at home, protected that home court, 58-52, sir.
Again, that team, man, they have so many pieces, Chris. How many college coaches in D1 level have four guys who are all 7 foot or taller? And two of their 7 footers are like legit. You know, sometimes in college basketball, you have those guys who are like 7 foot, but they maybe play for a handful of minutes or.
Yeah, they're 190 pounds or something.
Yeah. And they can't dribble. All they're good for is maybe like a pick and roll or occasional block. But two of their bigs are like legit. They're hoopers and they start. And then you have a bunch of guards that literally just love to chuck threes. So on a given day, when that offense gets rolling, man, that's a dangerous team. And even though they've kind of been out of the limelight, I would say for a while now, they're at least what they were when you and I were growing up. They still can have a really sneaky good home court record. Like that's a team where, I mean, you know, back in the day it was like the, you know, Mike Bibby, Damon Stoudemire, even when I was in high school and you were just a little bit older than me, like, that was a team where, man, you could pretty much guarantee Arizona was going to make like a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8 run. And they kind of went through a little bit of a lull there, but they've kind of got back on track. So it's a dangerous home court to play at. You have a very unique lineup of a lot of good bigs. You have guards that love to jack and shoot. I can see them going on a hot streak, Chris. They're a team where, again, they're solid. I think defensively that's probably an area they're trying to improve on, but anytime they go on a hot streak, I won't be surprised just because you have such a rarity of pieces. Defensively, I think they can improve a bit. But, yeah, that Wildcats team is definitely right in the top of the race with UCLA and ASU for who's the best top dog in the Pac-12.
Yeah, no doubt. And a chunk of years ago now, probably 2015, 2016, didn't they get beat by – wasn't it Wisconsin back-to-back years when Wisconsin played Duke for that national title? I think it was it their last national title? I felt like it was back-to-back years they got beat. One of them was, and this is obviously after Miller, but one of them was, actually, I think maybe both of them were Elite Eight. I can't remember, but you're right. They've been the Elite Eight. I'm looking at it right now. They've been to the Elite Eight for quite some time, or, you know, multiple times, but it's slowed down. Yeah, 2014, 2015, both times Elite Eight, but I'm looking down, and so they've made the Elite Eight, like, under him a bunch, but you're right, ever since that, you know, making that title game, and then obviously, what was that? Was that 97, I believe, that they won the championship?
Yeah, yep, sounds about right.
Yeah, so we'll see, you know, obviously Miller had, you know, his own things going on. We'll talk about some other games, of course. Houston was number one. They got beat by Temple. And, you know, I mean, the top scorer for Temple was, you know, Dunn, 16 points off the bench, but he shot like 3 of 12 overall. This one was more, I mean, each team struggled majorly, like, for shooting. 34% for Houston, 31% for Temple. Neither of them necessarily lit it up from three. They weren't horrible. But this one came down to free throws, man. 20 of 22 for Temple, 90% clip, basically 91%, and 11 of 21 for Houston. And that was at home, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Wow, that's a big upset, obviously opening the door for Purdue taking it over and Bama and other teams moving up.
Yeah, that was if you bet Temple money line, I heard on my Vegas podcast that was anywhere from 1,200 to 1,300. So that was a very nice dog pick that would have paid you pretty handsomely right before you watched the Cowboys lose their season. So yeah,
Do you want to have a segment with that? We could have a segment, and then just we could cry both, you know, because I lost.
Oh, God, I know. Fucking hey, hey.
Close Dak game Prescott, though.
Dak Prescott, you're a good quarterback, but you ain't gonna give us the Super Bowl. So time to move on. fuck Mike McCarthy. Anyways, for some more, again, yeah, Houston did actually to tie in with the Big 12. Houston did have a tough loss last night. They were pretty much down the whole game. They cut it down to one. They had a second and a half left in the game, and they did kind of a little wraparound post. They had to, like, throw it in for a lob play. A guy at the bucket had a clean look and just kind of rolled off the rim. So, obviously, the number one seed may change, but Houston is still obviously a very dominant, strong team this year. Just to kind of hit on a little bit of Big 12 recap, I just want to say this because I did bet this game and I made a little handsome money off of it. But if you go back that last Tuesday, Kansas lost to K-State 82-83 in overtime. And Iowa State, the team I did bet, beat Texas 78-67. So those are four teams that have all been ranked pretty much within the top 15 the whole year. Iowa State, Chris, man, that team, that is a solid basketball team. You have bigs, you have guards. A coach that has been recruiting his butt off to give him credit, because if you rewind a couple of years ago, you had like the Monte Morris squad of Iowa State, who was really good. They were pretty much guaranteed tournament, win a game in March. And then you had 2 years where you were like bottom of the barrel, like just, you know, just dead. And now you've gone from bottom of the barrel dead to all of a sudden you're back to being ranked in the top 10. They have that big name like Ashinoa. They have a big whose center's name's hard to pronounce. They got Culture from the used to be a former Gopher. But that is one of the most complete teams I've seen all year. And they've actually put together a really nice resume. You were able to beat Texas. They beat up my Tar Heels. I know it's not saying as much this year. They did lose to UConn, which at that time UConn was riding pretty high, but you've won against Baylor. You've beat TCU. You beat Texas Tech handedly. This Iowa State team, Chris, I know they did lose to Oklahoma State on the road later in the week, but they're one of the more complete teams I've seen from top to bottom this year. Have you been able to see Iowa State play at all this season, my friend?
Yeah, I have, and I do. They got a lot, you know, they got a lot of experience, and Gabe is definitely, you know, definitely a good player, very good defensive player. I think he's always been a little underrated there. But that's part of being in this conference as far as, like you said, they went on and lost. And I actually misspoke. I went back an extra game because TCU lost to West Virginia. I totally forgot about that. I was based off that the game before that with Kansas State. So it has been up and down. And prior to that, TCU, you know, They had close losses to Texas and Iowa State. But, yeah, I really don't know right now who's going to win this Big 12. I mean, this thing is wide open. And, you know, for the last handful of years, thank you some of these other teams, Texas Tech, Baylor, some other teams that have, you know, played really well. I'm just happy because, you know, for so long it was just Kansas to win basically. And I like it. I think it's
by the way, I got to tell you this, brother, because you know how we would always kind of make jokes back in the day and bitch about how the Gophers would always start off a Big Ten conference play with a brutal schedule?
Yeah.
I do not know.
It's not back in the day. It's every year, by the way.
I don't know who pissed off the K-State fan club or who in K-State pissed off the Big 12 schedule makers, but listen to this shit. So, to switch to K-State, who, again, currently is first in the Big 12, this is your upcoming schedule. Okay, you go to Iowa State tomorrow. That's a very hard game. You host Florida for the SEC Big 12 showdown. You know, whatever, no big deal. But to stick with your Big 12 play, you go to Iowa State, you go to Kansas, you host Texas, you host TCU. So in a four-game stretch, you literally play all four teams that are ranked in the currently 12th or better. That is absolutely brutal.
Kansas State, right? Or did you say Iowa?
Yes, K-State goes to Iowa State tomorrow.
I actually have that written down in my notes. God, like, hey, let's not drown anybody. Let's not drown anybody yet because there's a lot left. Jesus. There's a lot of meat on the bone. Like I said, TCU, they only lost by a total of 5 points to Texas Iowa State. So Kansas can bounce right back because they were coming off some points.
And we
can't count out Texas either.
No. I can't believe that is a murderer's row. To play four teams in your conference in a row that are all ranked top 10 or top 12 or better, oof. If you can go 2-2, that's a hell of a good 2-week stretch, my friend.
Yeah, and even if you stretch it out more, like it's just ongoing with their schedule, man. It is really like, yeah, it's coming. You know, like there's a lot to be. It's like you could put it away early, I guess, right? If you went 3-1 or whatever, but that's probably not going to happen. You know,
true.
And if you do, you probably lose to two teams you shouldn't or something like that.
Amen, man. Amen.
Friday night we did get a really good game between Boise State and New Mexico. It is that Mountain West that we were talking about last week. Mashburn, you know, in that Morris Udisi or whatever, that big. That was a pretty nasty way to basically end that game because it came, you know, with what, a few seconds left on the clock. They went to overtime. New Mexico, Boise State was up 37-31 at a half, 41-35, and the New Mexico, you know, pull it out. They're 16-2, and that's why I kind of was talking. We were talking about this, highlighting this, you know, Friday Night Hoops, by the way. That's pretty dope. But that's why I was kind of highlighting this stuff because, I mean, they're a good team, and they got some experienced players. That Mashburn showed some promise as a freshman before he transferred with Pitino there.
Yeah, I've watched that team play a few games now. They're very up-tempo. The one knock on New Mexico State, Chris, is that they're a really bad three-point shooting team. I think they ranked.
I can't believe that. A Pitino coach team is bad at three-point. That was the biggest problem here. He was with the Gophers, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I'm at Scores app, which I'm sure a lot of people have because it's like probably the best app ever for following sports and betting sports and all that. They always show you statistics of where teams rank, and I'm pretty sure they're in like the 280 to the 300th for shooting threes. They average like 5.9 a game. So you have a good offense, you have a good home court, you have a very talented guard in Mashburn, you have a good big, you actually have another good guard with Mashburn as well. So that's a good team, and every team has a weakness. Like I think Arizona does, Texas does, KU does. Every college basketball team is good but can have their issue. There's no true powerhouse Gonzaga team this year for the regular season. But, man, as it seems like as the years progress, the three-point ball becomes more and more of a thing. Just because obviously three is more than two. But some teams can play at their advantage and some can't. But that is the one weakness I've seen from them so far. Of if you only can hit 5.5 threes a game and you're playing a team that can hit 8 or 9, you know, that is a difference. So I guess that's the one weakness. But besides that, they got a good home court. And it seems like them and Boise and Nevada are going to kind of be going neck and neck all year to see who's the top dog in that Mountain West, my friend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, let's stay on the West a little bit.
Sure.
You know, Loyola Marymount, right? 68-67. Not just at home or something like that. Oh, no, Marshall. No, it wasn't just at home. They got it done on the road. And, you know, at Gonzaga, it's not like it's like the most intimidating on the planet. But as far as conference, first of all, they're into it there, of course. They have had a great program and all that, and we've documented how close they've come and how many, you know, teams are you like, this is probably their year and all that. But they're a damn good top-tier, basically elite level without winning a championship, you know, program. But it had been a long time, especially in conference. They lose games in conference, right? That's not the craziest stuff. They usually have a pretty good, you know, record and whatnot. But, man, it's that was a huge upset. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
It snapped Gonzaga's 75-game home winning streak, which that's all you got to say.
I'm glad you had that quick there because I was actually trying to find where the hell I put it, and I'm like, where the hell is it?
75 games in a row, my lord. And staying on the West
Coast. That's a lot, isn't it, at home?
That's a good run.
Because you don't play
USA.
Your games all at home, right? That's not something you do.
That's a hell of a run, and I'm sure they'll probably get another streak back in the 30s again until they maybe switch it up and go to a different conference.
Which they should go to the Big 12, but that's a different show. Or shit, go to the Mountain West. I mean, if you're going to go someplace, shit.
True.
But go ahead, because then at least stay in the West.
And, yeah, staying in the West, my ASU Sun Devils, who have been paying a lot of bills for me lately, they played a good first half against UCLA, and then they fell apart a bit in the second half. So UCLA actually had a tough week because that UCLA was able to beat ASU, but man, I'm now 11-1 betting ASU bets, man. I love the Sun Devils, Chris.
20-5 run over like the last 8 minutes and change in that game.
So UCLA had a strong effort there, and as much like in college football, college basketball is the same. A lot of the times, you can predict if a team will win or lose based on the games they've played before, just how momentum carries. And college athletes, you obviously, you know, are human, and you have your highs and your lows. You went into ASU, which had like the highest crowd of attendance they've had in a long time, so that was probably a big emotional win. And then UCLA traveled to Arizona on Saturday. Came up a little bit flat, and actually a lower scoring game for both these teams. University of Arizona, which my co-host did say, did beat UCLA 58-52. So again, those top three, if the games are out on the Pac-12 channel, which very few people have, those teams are a joy to watch. UCLA still has actually a handful of players from that Final Four run a couple of years ago. So obviously, you know, they have talent there. Arizona, again, we spoke about them. And ASU, they're probably the weakest, Chris, of the three top teams, but this is the best year they've had in quite a while. And again, they're not the best shooting team, but they have a couple of individual players that play pretty well. And they're just kind of a fun team to watch as well. So it'll be a fun three-dog race with those teams kind of chilling in the Pac-12 all year. And they're kind of beat up on each other, which is soon to, you know, going to be happening with K-State in the Big 12 this upcoming week. So one thing about college basketball, unless you literally can run the table in your conference, it does seem, Chris, like almost every year, every team you watch is going to have a 2-3 game losing streak, just because sometimes the schedule gods make your life tough and you have that week where you play two ranked teams in a row and maybe they're both on the road. That's hard to handle for any college team.
Yeah, and sometimes you get caught looking ahead, thinking, all right, we got a big win here, then all of a sudden you lose, and then you go, you know, it comes together sometimes, you know, just foul problems, sometimes injuries. Just to go back to that, like you said, I finally found the damn stat here. Like you said, the 76th home win, the Lamar, went back from 1978 to 1984, Lamar won 80 straight between that time. But to add on to the stat you mentioned, this is ESPN Stat and Info, Gonzaga, as a ranked team, had won, going against an unranked opponent, had won 83 in a row. It's the second longest streak in D1 history, dude. I mean, golly, should we be worried maybe about Gonzaga here? I mean, they haven't looked great this year, but, you know, they obviously, the last few years, some of the teams they've had, it's going to be tough to live up to those. But last Thursday, Michigan and Rutgers, that was a good game. Michigan, it was a tight game, but Michigan just kind of breezed away from them down the stretch and played really, really good. My Gophers only put up 39 points against Purdue. I think they had like 17 and a half or something that same night where we were talking about all these games. It wasn't necessarily a pretty occasion there. It was pretty bad. But overall, you know, a fun week. Marquette did beat Providence. That was a big win. Missouri right before, they had lost, but they had beaten Arkansas, which it'll be interesting to see Arkansas the rest of this year, because we know they're they got a good program and everything like that. They've been a little up and down. They do have some good wins, but I know they've had a tough schedule. But yeah, any other items before we get into this conference swing and talk about some of the big matchups we got tonight during the week? And then, like I mentioned before, the SEC and Big 12, or, you know, before I get ran over here, the Big 12 versus the SEC. Okay, I'll put the Big 12 first, just like, you know, certain boxing fans, don't you dare say this guy before that guy, because he's way, but he's the A side. Any other items you want to discuss, sir, from the last week or so?
I think we did a pretty good job of hitting all those main points. Let's move on to
well, that real quick then, that Bama Purdue debate. Okay, number one, who's number one? I'm seeing a lot for Bama. Purdue's technically one just off the AP. Alabama this year has wins over Michigan State, North Carolina, Houston, and Memphis. That's their best wins. As far as, you know, in their non-conference and whatnot. They lost to UConn and Gonzaga. Purdue did beat Marquette, Gonzaga, Duke. They lost to Rutgers, so I guess that would be out of there. And they do have some head-to-heads, the Gonzaga and the Michigan State. So they both beat Michigan State. One team beat Gonzaga, the other didn't. Not like Bama got beat by 30 or nothing like that, but I don't think it's crazy to think that now you could say, well, Bama's playing in a tougher, you know, as we're about to go there, let's actually start with the SEC since we were talking about, you know, back and forth with this. A lot of people are saying they play in a tougher division and so, or, you know, in a tougher conference. Here we go on the sections and regionals and, oh God, here we go. I'm doing it this week now. It's not a division. Okay. They're not broken up. It's a conference. Let me get that right. SEC though, they're 7-0. So I think that does demand, you know, some respect, and they have beaten some quality, you know, I mean, Arkansas, when they beat them, they were 15th ranked, you know, at the beginning of the month. Same with Kentucky. Kentucky's looking a little bit better. At Mississippi State was a good win at the time. They were 21th ranked, but that is still a little early. I don't know. I think it's a good debate, though. I definitely think it's a good debate.
Yeah, I would lean towards Alabama. I guess I would give my vote to them just from what I've seen them play more than Purdue as well. I mean, it is one thing where you can, like, you can do a decent job, Chris, of, like, as you know, watching a lot of college football. It is humanly impossible, unless you're getting paid a handsome salary by ESPN, to, like, watch and get a feel for every college basketball team in the country. Like, college football, you know, I could give you – we could go back and forth on what we think about most ranked teams. And college basketball, as most fans know, you kind of watch your conference, maybe have some conferences you enjoy. Like, I personally, like, I love watching the Big East, and I've been watching a lot of Pac-12 this year. Like, I do obviously watch different games for our show and whatnot, but, you know, it is really hard to see every team play.
Well, that's part of the whole year.
Yeah, there's not a time of the day.
Whole year watching it, you know.
You're right.
We're not going to be able to – nobody watches every game.
True.
Even a professional better. But that is part of – that's part of it. But let's not talk about the games we haven't seen or teams we haven't seen. Let's go to the SEC. Bama is 7-0. It is a tough division. Kentucky looks like they're somewhat bouncing back. They are 4-3. Got four teams with three losses. It is weird to see, you know, LSU's been a strong program. Mentioned Arkansas 2-5, 1-6 for LSU and whatnot. They've obviously had, you know, some up and downs there. Florida, who's, you know, the last 30 years or so, have been, you know, a solid program. They're in the hunt. A&M, they're 5-1, but Tennessee, Auburn, and Alabama, that's the ones, you know, most are focusing in on. And, you know, once again, the Big 12 is deep, but the SEC's right there because you do have two teams in the top four as far as the AP.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel that this has kind of been the story now for Tennessee for the last handful of years now. You have a really good regular season. You are a team that plays at a slower pace. You're defensive-based. But then come tournament time, they've kind of disappeared the last handful of years. So has this Tennessee team, Chris, made adjustments to improve themselves offensively? Because, again, last year, almost same story. Off to a very good start. Offensively, though, they couldn't get it done. So I'll be curious to see, you know, will they make maturation offensively? Because, again, defensively, they've probably been the most solid team for the last handful of years in that conference. Alabama, they've pretty much been pretty damn good now for the past 3 to 4 years. They love to run and gun. They're obviously playing at a faster tempo than Tennessee. He seems to get a lot of athletes in there. They always seem to make progress throughout the year. They jack a lot of threes. And as frustrating as it is, they've actually established a pretty damn good home field. So they're not only a great college football team, they've actually established to have a pretty good college basketball team, which is rare to see a college have two programs of sports that are both competitive. So, yeah, if you're Alabama right now, I think this is kind of a year in the making of you've been kind of a top 20, top 15 team every last 3 to 4 years, and now you probably have put together the best team so far that you've seen for Nate Oates. So, again, Chris, to beat Bama, man, that when it's a run-and-gun team and they hit their threes, that's a very, very hard team to beat. And I think just, like I said, the maturation of him developing his program, probably getting the recruits he needs, that's a hell of a team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were ranked number one next week.
Yeah, I think Tennessee, the last I'm looking at right now, 2019 was the last time they went to the Sweet 16. But you're right, man. They're really hot. They run hot and cold in it, I guess, at the wrong times of the year, in a sense. But yeah, it's a respected conference, man. And yeah, Bama's a damn good team. And like I said, I think they, you know, if it holds up, because, you know, right now, like I said, when you have head up games, you know, that you could say, well, Purdue beat this team and they didn't, you know. I think that's a decider. But as we keep going and we can say the Big Ten's going to, you know, beat each other up. But as far as, you know, you look at the top 3 or 4 teams, clearly the SEC right now is better. So at least higher ranked, that's for sure, which is part of being better in the rankings. They don't tell the whole story, of course. Sometimes the seeding does, sometimes it doesn't. Most times it does because it's kind of the whole picture and whatnot. But, you know, if it holds like this, then you're going to be like, well, yeah, Bama should be the higher number one seed if it comes down to that because they've had to play in a tougher division. And speaking of a tougher division, like we talked about, Big 12, I mean, this is fun, dude. You got three teams that are 5-2, Kansas, Iowa State, Texas. TCU, who, you know, we just documented, had two big wins in the last three games. They're only 4-3. Baylor was, you know, they're getting it going again. They were ranked based off, you know, a lot of stuff in their past, the last chunk of years, really. Obviously, they won a national championship 2 years, but they're 4-3. You look at Texas Tech, 0-7, man. That's they've been really good these last 5 to 7 years. So that's, you know, that's kind of interesting. They're kind of, you know, going through some stuff as far as they're not at their top level right now for obvious reasons. But Texas still hanging in there at 5-2. I really like their team. I do wonder, though, if, you know, not having their head coach that got this team together is going to bite them in the butt. But there you go. Kansas State, man, sitting there at 6-1. This is – so what is that, 6 teams in the top 17? Yeah.
I know.
Damn, that's impressive.
Yes, I mean, this as of right now, this has to be the best conference in the country.
Yeah.
Kansas seems
and to – and they got national championships the last 2 years to boot, too.
Bitch. I didn't hear – you cut out on me. I don't know what was said. So, K-State, they got the journey from hell coming up that all those pretty much got to play them in a row besides Baylor. So – if K-State goes 4-0 against that stretch, I will come here and sing their praise in a couple weeks from now because that'd be a hell of a run. Now, with that said, K-State, they're probably the most surprising, Chris, because they have a new coach. This is a team who, for the last handful of years, has been normally middle of the pack to a little bit worse. They normally always seem to be challenged a bit offensively and kind of play at a slower pace. They did get a nice transfer in from Florida. They have a point guard that's about 5'5", but he does jack threes like he thinks he's Curry, and he's actually been having a nice year. They're a solid team, but again, one that with a new coach and kind of maybe switching the system up a little bit, I doubt many people expect them to be 11-0 at home and lead the conference. Kansas, who did get their butt kicked a few times this year is pedestrian this year, people could say. But overall, you're still 5-2 in conference, 16-3 overall. So you've only lost 3 games out of 19, and you're falling back to the pack. But that shows
kind of how strong they are. Per usual, a very challenging, solid non-conference too.
Yes, for sure. And then you have Iowa State, who I think on a given night is the best team in the Big 12, just from watching them play. And Texas, who is also ranked 10th at 5-2, along with Kansas and Iowa State, who are both 5-2. Again, to me, just personally speaking, when I watch them play offensively, I think they go through lots of droughts and games, but they're a very strong defensive team. And obviously, as you said, when you lose your coach, that obviously is going to cause maybe it took them a little bit to get back on track, and maybe your schemes are going to be different from your offensive mindset, and who knows. But again, you're still 5-2. You're ranked 10th in the country. And TCU, who's 4-3 on the year, has wins against K-State and Kansas, and you're ranked 11th, yet you're in 5th place in your conference. Man, I mean, Jesus, you beat 2 teams in the top 10, Chris, in your conference, and you're 5th in your conference. That's really all you got to know to explain how deep and good of a conference it is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And even Kansas, I think they had won 9-10, and now they've lost back-to-back, you know, at Kansas State, obviously, in a close game, and then got their butt whooped. But they got at Baylor. Their crossover game at the SEC is at Kentucky, who's been playing a little better now late, or much better now late. Then Kansas State again, of course, that's at home. Then at Iowa State, then home Texas, at Oklahoma, who actually is, you know, looks bad, but they got a win recently. At Oklahoma State, that's not easy. Oklahoma State just got a win. Then Baylor again, then TCU again, and then Texas to close the year. So, yeah, man, this will be, I think, one of the funnest races. I mean, we might have, I think the Big Ten's going to run into the Purdue's just going to, for the Big Ten standards, run away with it. I think we'll probably fall into that. But there's other conferences. You know, the Big East, I think, obviously is well up for grabs. The ACC's kind of interesting too. If you look at some of their the records, you got. I just love when you go to the standings and you see, like, there's 5 teams that are 6-3 or something like that. I think that's exactly what it is. 5 teams are 6-3 in the ACC. Clemson did lose finally. They're 8-1 still, though. And then Virginia kind of quietly, because they have been a little down, you know, since their really great run that finally ended in a national championship. But, you know, to get there, it was rough because, you know, they had to lose that first round nasty game. But, like, when you look at that conference, the ACC, I mean, this might be the funnest only based off of how, like, down to the wire it's going to take. Whereas, you know, as far as the importance of the top 6-7 teams in the Big 12 and what that means for seeding and everything, that's crazy. But, yeah, 5 teams, Pitt, Miami, North Carolina, Wake, and Syracuse is 6-3. Duke, who's playing right now, down to Virginia Tech at the half last time I checked. They have 3 losses. They're 5-3. And then, obviously, just like last week, seeing Louisville 0-8 is just – it still kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I want to say, like, the cliche of, like, give it a month, and I think when we're in the third week of February – God, that was a hard sentence. Maybe it'll be a little more spread out, but I suppose there's a legit chance, Chris, that a month from now, maybe we still have this cluster of a bunch of teams that are now 7-6 or something. Like, you know, maybe this division doesn't thin out. You normally do have the blue bloods of, like, a Leonard Hamilton and Duke or UNC kind of with Virginia up top. And then kind of a little bit of, like, a second tier, third tier, bottom tier. But we really don't have that second and third tier. It really is kind of a cluster, which, again, is great for parity. I think my Tar Heels maybe had a little too much fun partying last year because they've had their ups and downs. But I'm sure as of now they're probably projected to make it, but they're a little sluggish at 6-3. Again, Pitt, this is the best I think they've been in probably since Jamie Dixon left. Clemson, I do not recall the last time they were in first place in the late January in this conference since, I don't know, it's been a minute. And Duke, obviously, you're going through the changes of a new coach, which obviously they're not playing up to their par. Syracuse is going to do their damn zone every year and stick right there in the middle and probably beat someone every first round of March Madness and probably lose their next game. And Wake Forest, again, when's the last time they were tied for third in the conference this far into the year? So it is kind of a mix and match hodgepodge of ACC, but unless you are a Carolina Duke fan like me and others, it's kind of just fun to watch. Like, other teams have a chance, and maybe we could have a different team besides Carolina, Duke, or Virginia win the ACC, which would be a nice change of pace, whether it's for the regular season or in the conference tournament. So new faces up top is never bad for sports.
Yeah, and you know, like we talked about, and you just mentioned a little bit too, like we said this at the start when we started doing our show, and all of a sudden, you know, some of that cream rose to the top. It's kind of interesting there. When you go to, like, the Big East, this is obviously for quite some time now, you know, since they had to rebuild their conference, they did it basketball-wise, which I thought, hey, that's the smartest thing to do, might as well. And they did a hell of a job doing it. You look at 5-5 middle of the pack, right, UConn. It's crazy. And, you know, they haven't had like a major, multiple major injuries or anything like that, but they beat up an Oregon squad on Thanksgiving. They beat Bama 82-67, beat Iowa State 71-53, Oklahoma State, Florida. These are good wins, whatever, no big deal. Got off to a decent start, right? So they had a great, I shouldn't say decent, UConn had a great start. But then they get in the conference play, and maybe this is kind of showing, hey, don't sleep on the Big East. It's not just Nova winning, you know, some titles. This thing's deep, and we found out, you know, last year as well. But losing, you know, on the road at Xavier, no big deal. Providence, they lost to on the road again, and on the road at Marquette. So they played the top three teams on the road. So their season's not done, but it did blend into some other games. Like a home game at St. John's, I watched that game. Probably could have won that game. A really sneaky loss to Seton Hall on the road, 67-66. So they got their work cut out for them in the conference. But it will be one of those. They're 5-5 right now, Marshall. But the losses, people are going to maybe look at their losses or their standings and be like, "What?" Because their non-conference is really, really tough. You know, full of good wins. And, like, if you think, you know, people think Bama's out there being number one, well, they beat them, you know. But now they got to play Xavier again, Marquette at home, and Providence at home. So, and then their back end, St. John's on the road, DePaul, and at Villanova. Who knows, I guess, what Villanova's looking like then. But it's been heavy, you know, so far. And if they can win, say, two out of those three, I'm not saying they're going to win the division or anything like that. God damn it, I said it again. We're not in Division One or Two, it's conference. Man.
I screwed this up laughing, brother.
And
I apologize.
Now I'm like, I gave you shit about it, and here I am, you know, needing to get, you know, shit back in my face. But that just goes to show you, long story short, extremely long, you know, how damn good the Big East is right now. And, you know, Providence still has to face the top team right now. So, you know, they're right in the thick, even though you'd look and go, well, they just lost to Marquette.
Yes. Man, I love watching this conference. Xavier, they're, again, it would not surprise me, Chris, if they won the conference just because, like I said last week, this is basically this year's Providence. You got dudes who have been there for pretty much 4 years now. So why are you winning close games? Because you got a junior, senior-ass growing team. Like, and they're good. Mungie, Fremantle, Jones, like, those guys don't quit. That's a scrappy bunch. Maybe this is the best team that Shock has had at Marquette. They're going to jack up threes. They're going to play some good defense. When I watched them play, I feel like their record is good, but they're not quite as good as Xavier or as a UConn. But when you look at their record, though, it's like, okay, well, shit, they're 8-2. They went through a stretch where you beat UConn, you lost to Xavier, beat Providence, and won Seton Hall. So they're going through a good run, too. This conference is, again, pretty similar to the Big 12 in a way, where the rankings aren't quite as legit, but you do have a lot of just solid teams. Xavier will be in the tournament. Marquette should be in the tournament. Providence, to tip your cap, I give them credit for last year. They basically lost their whole starting five and had to get either bring up guys from last year who were on the bench.
Yeah, and that dude who used to come off the bench, he's hurt too. He's just coming back now. I can't remember his last name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, and a little bit of a transfer portal. Like, they're having a hell of a year. Again, the preseason, people thought Creighton was the best team in the conference, and they're 5-3 chilling. Seton Hall on a given night can beat people. And UConn, so I guess the biggest thing I've heard from ESPN and every single streaming source I hear is their guard play is not that good. But a handful of weeks ago, this team was ranked in the top five. So again, on a given week, I know they're going through their slump now too, but UConn is not a joke of a team. And then just chilling down there, you got St. John's, who on a given night, I love watching them because they play fast. They can beat anyone and lose to anyone. They're 3-6 this year. That's pretty disappointing. And Villanova, new coach, J.R.I. left town. They're kind of going through struggles, Chris, like Duke is. But it wouldn't surprise me to see a Villanova or St. John's maybe make a little bit of a second-half run in their conference, maybe sneak towards that bubble talk. Again, Villanova, like, you know, you can't be good every single year. So they're having a down year this year when your coach who's there for almost two decades leaves. Like, it is what it is. But, yeah, maybe not quite the Big 12, but Xavier, Marquette, Providence, and Creighton on given nights, and UConn, that's a probably the best top five teams in the conference after the Big 12 gauntlet.
Yeah, and just kind of wrapping up some of the major conference there with the Big Ten conference, obviously Purdue 8-1, Rutgers 5-3, but look at, you have three teams that have three losses in, or four teams, my bad, because even Northwestern's 3-3, weird. So you got a 5-4 Michigan State who actually looks like they're on the up and up. I assume, like Michigan State, a lot of times they'll make a little bit of run. You know, teams like Ohio State and Indiana, and a little bit of Illinois, they look good early and they've fallen off a little bit. But you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that are 4-4 or have 4 losses. That's pretty crazy, too. So that's going to be beating up on each other. But at this moment, I feel like it'd have to be, like, you know, the big for Purdue to go out. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they got this conference pretty locked and loaded. Obviously, maybe that'll come back to bite me. We talked about the Mountain West and whatnot. But just to give a shout-out to the folks that we love our feedback, Atlantic 10, you do have VCU and St. Louis in Dayton. On the top of that, 6-1, 6-1, 5-2. Maybe some teams, you know, that normally are playing pretty good, not as good. But Houston, you know, they did lose that one. They're still 6-1 in control of the conference to an extent. Temple, 6-2. Memphis, 5-2. Cincy, 5-3. A 5-3 Tulane improved team. They're not going to be improved like the football club, but they're improved. Wichita State, kind of mediocre right now. SMU's been fun to watch in recent years, but I'd favor Houston in that one, but, you know, Temple's got to be feeling pretty confident right about now.
Just to kind of summarize the Big Ten and move on, like, to the AAC, maybe this is, like, the first year where a lot of these Big Ten teams don't have, like, lottery picks. Like, I feel around this time of the year, you do normally see a ranking next to Michigan State, next to Wisconsin, next to Iowa.
Michigan,
yeah, but maybe for once, you know, because I think of, like, the Badgers, I don't think they have a guy going pro. For once, maybe is in Al Grant. I haven't seen Sparty much this year, but maybe the Izzo doesn't have a future lottery guy. You know, like, Iowa had Luka Garza for a while. They had the dude that's now on the Kings and Murray. Like, Indiana does have a future lottery player, but he's kind of their only guy, and they're 4-4. Illinois, does seem like they always have a big that's going pro. So maybe this is one slightly down year, which the like true proven talent, which kind of shows why a team like Rutgers, who's been recruiting good and being coming a small team for the last handful of years, is chumped there. So yeah, it is weird. Obviously the rankings got to go somewhere, and a lot of the rankings are in the Big East and the Big 12. But the fact that there's one team ranked, maybe it is just a slight drop of the elite class of lottery players in the Big Ten. But
in the non-conference schedule, they didn't perform all that well. I mean, obviously Purdue did, but you know, the non-conference schedule, if you book a tough schedule and then you don't win a bunch of those, you know, it hurts your rankings.
True. Yeah, you're right. But again, from a college fan standpoint, unless you're a diehard fan of one of the teams, you have a little more parity in the Big Ten this year, much like the ACC.
I'd say a lot more. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So is it the conference doesn't look as sexy, but the basketball is probably just as good. The games night in, night out are solid because you don't have those top three or four teams who are kind of whooping up on everyone. You got everyone kind of beat up everyone. I mean, the fact that Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa are all 4-4 and they're all chilling like 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in the conference. Like, okay, like, you know, that's not a bad conference record. But
yeah, they're not horrible either. No. Like Indiana, I mean, they got a guy this week that freaking averaged like 32 points or some shit. You know, they look good earlier this year.
They did. I know them and Iowa were both ranked earlier this year. I'm almost certain. So again, it is weird to see the ACC and the Big Ten take a few punches. But again, it's only January. We're still 6 weeks away from Selection Sunday. So again, I wouldn't surprise me to see those conferences look up a little bit. But again, looking at it right now, Chris, the Big East and the Big 12, man, both. They are playing some damn good basketball, and that's pretty impressive. And as you mentioned, the American Conference, Houston 6-1. Again, that loss to Temple was probably quite a slip up. And Memphis, you know, Penny, I'm sure they expect the team to make it to the tournament. Cincinnati, they're probably supposed to make it there. And Temple, they're definitely a surprise. We were talking before the show. This is the first year I can recall where they're like top of the conference. For the last 5-6 years, they've pretty much been like a finished 7th, 8th, or 9th kind of team. So whatever mojo they have going on to start off the year, obviously you just beat number 1-2 is probably a bit of a letdown for your next game. But again, Houston, obviously they're strong as hell again. When I went to watch them play last year, Chris, I went to watch them play Memphis in their conference title game. It was in Fort Worth, so I made a drive. God, they have a growing ass team. Like, I don't, college basketball players are big. Like, I'm not stupid. I know I'm short, like 5'9" person, but they almost had like an NBA size roster of like their dudes were like 6'9", 6'10", like 7 foot. Like, you know, it's no surprise to see a team like them that can just like, when you have NBA height and you just play really solid defense, there's no shock that they've been on quite a good run. They've been on for the past 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, just talking about this conference stuff in the Big Ten, you know, I've seen some brackets forecast, not just our guy at ESPN, but a couple other ones, and two of them had said that the Big Ten still might get the most teams in, you know what I mean? So, I mean,
wow.
Yeah, like, actually, I'm looking at a Mike DeCourcy, who I think it's Fox Sports, who he has.
Oh, DeCourcy.
DeCourcy, yep. He has 9 teams from the Big Ten, 8 from the ACC. Now, these are the biggest conferences, right, of course, so that plays into it. But Big 12 has 7, SEC has 6, Pac-12 has 4, Big East has 4, Mountain West has 3, West Coast has 2, and then the AAC has 2. Just as right now, forecasted. I mean, obviously, you know, we're
so that parity might actually be benefiting those teams. Obviously, you still got to keep winning games, but that parity maybe shows how overall solid the conferences are.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. I did want to give a shout out. I saw this for Slam University on Twitter, the Detroit basketball, and Antonio Davis dropped 42 points this last weekend to put him 2nd all time. And a NCAA D1 point scored at 3,274. He now trails Pete Marinovich. He has 300. He's down by 393. So shouts out to him too. That's a lot of points, especially, you know, in a game that's, you know, 8 minutes shorter, you know, than the pros. That's a ton. UCLA 8-1 looking damn good, even though they did drop that game. They're looking good this year. They still have a couple core players anyway from their runs the last couple of years. You know, Arizona 6-3. We've talked about them enough. Oregon's 5-4, a pretty good club. Utah, though, I don't know if Keith Van Horn is back there or what, but they're 7-3, so don't look now. You know what I mean? Don't look now. It's kind of interesting. And then, of course, you know, talking about the Mountain West, that one's up for grabs. You know, you could say, well, this team beat that team beat this team. We talked about how there was a, you know, an interesting – well, there's an interesting game later tonight. There was an interesting game on Friday. So, you know, I won't beat a dead horse there, but right now San Diego State, you know, is 6-1, but Utah State at 5-2, that's kind of interesting. But San Diego State, New Mexico, Boise State, Nevada, they're all going to beat each other up, so that's kind of interesting. And then obviously Gonzaga, you know, late January, what is it, January 23rd, Gonzaga is not leading the West Coast Conference. I'm just going to say that. Okay, because we don't hear that much. It's St. Mary's, who's still undefeated in conference.
That is a rarity, and St. Mary's is always. It always seems like St. Mary's and BYU are the two best teams that give Gonzaga some hassles each year, the best they can. And yeah, just kind of wrap up the conference talk. Yeah, Utah is surprising. They are kind of the little ho hum quieter team. But if you are up there with UCLA, Arizona, and Arizona State, and you have a just good record, clearly you deserve some props as well. So, again, maybe they don't have quite the star tell yet. Obviously, their non-conference probably wasn't as strong due to them not being ranked. But I know they whooped up Arizona earlier this year when Arizona came to town there. So, that Utah team, that's maybe a surprise team to see. Making a bit of a run so far in let's see. They lost TCU by 4 points. They lost to UCLA by 20. They lost to USC by 13. Okay, so I guess they're taking care of business on their home court, Chris. They don't have they beat U of A by 15 at home. So not a great resume, but hey, if you're 7-3 in conference, like you're winning games, you got to win at home. That's not a bad resume so far, my friend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see how that goes. I like the home teams tonight. Baylor in Nevada with New Mexico, Nevada. That's on CBS Sports Network. And then, you know, on ESPN, obviously, the big Monday, Kansas number 9 goes in at Baylor. I think, well, actually, hold on. Is Kansas going to continue to stutter like that? Baylor's playing a little bit better. I don't know. That one's, maybe I'll want to hold back. Maybe Kansas will get that dub. Kansas State, Iowa State, just because it's at home, I'm going to go Iowa State. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's on Tuesday. Xavier, UConn, you got home court. Xavier's leading it. You got to get this dub, UConn. You have to get this dub. That's the biggest game when it comes to Wednesday night. And then, you know, can Purdue keep it going on the road at Michigan? They're 11-8. They should win that game. UCLA, USC, pretty good, but this would be a big win if they could obviously knock them out. And then, of course, there are plenty of games this weekend as a part of that, you know, SEC Big 12, Arkansas at Baylor. That's kind of an interesting game. Texas and Tennessee, I would say, is the marquee matchup. Now, name-wise, Kansas at Kentucky is the marquee matchup, but – you know, as far as rankings and stuff, Texas-Tennessee, that's a hell of a game. And then you do have St. Mary's at BYU as well, late at 9 o'clock ESPN2, so keep note of that.
Yeah, just to follow you with the picks, my friend, tonight I'm going to take Baylor, just because there's some teams I don't like picking on podcasts, and Katie's one of them, and obviously – again, aside from that, they are not quite as good as they have been. And obviously winning on the road is tough in general in college basketball. So it's not a shock. Baylor is a 2-point favorite tonight, so it wouldn't be like a massive upset if Baylor won. And as you mentioned, Tuesday, I'll take Iowa State. Man, if you're K-State, you're about to go through like the schedule strength of hell. So could K-State win? For sure. But K-State just had a hell of a week. And obviously in college basketball, you have your highs and your lows, and you were able to beat Kansas. Then you went on, you were at home, you kind of sleptwalked through beating Texas Tech. Now you got to go on the road, you're up for a big game against Iowa State. I think that's tough. And as Vegas shows, Iowa State's a 4.5-point favorite. So it would make sense that they're favored. So I think they'll take care of a business Tuesday night. Wednesday, you mentioned Xavier, UConn. You're right. That's one of those momentum spots. That is a UConn needs to get momentum back on their side kind of game. But the way Xavier's playing, man, I'm not going to pick against that team. They're on a heater, and UConn needs that guard play to improve. Because Xavier, even when they have off nights like they had against DePaul last week, they were able to find a way to win the game. So that's a very veteran-based team. I will pick Xavier in the, a road upset. I'm sure the points will be very close. And then you mentioned, I think you said one game Thursday, I believe. You'd mentioned USC and UCLA. I'm going to take UCLA. I think that, they're going through a hell of a run where you had to go to play ASU, then Zona, and then USC. Good Lord. That is a hell of a stretch. And I know that USC is in the same city, but geez, that is a brutal ass schedule. I think they'll bounce back though and get that game. And then, like you said, Saturday, dude, you can watch basketball for 11 hours in a row Saturday and watch a lot of very good games. Do you think, sometimes it's just a difference of opponents. You get that little mid break in. Oklahoma actually has played decent this year. I know, yeah. Again, someone's got to lose in the Big 12.
And they just beat somebody, too, we were talking about. Was it Baylor or who was it? I can't remember, but they beat someone pretty good.
Oh, you're right. Any chance Alabama slips up to OU?
Is it at OU?
It is at OU, yeah.
I mean, there's a chance, yeah. There's a chance, but, anytime, like you said, go on the road, especially out of conference, there's a chance. I would pick Baylor, but, yeah, there's definitely a chance. Also, could Purdue, get beat by Michigan State, who's been playing a little bit better? That's something to look at for Sunday, too. I wanted to mention that.
Well, actually, another great SEC matchup for the Big 12, Iowa State goes to Mizzou. I know Mizzou's not ranked, but they're probably currently a bubble team. They're 14-5 on the year, 11-2 at home. That's a tough, scrappy game. I know Mizzou's given Bama a good test. I know they kind of ran up and down the court with KU earlier this year. That should be a fun one. I think Iowa State's a very solid team, but Mizzou's trying to make the tournament for the first time, and it's been a little bit. So that should be a very fun one to enjoy. Saturday at 3:00, Arkansas. They just need a win against somebody. That team started the
right
year.
He
was talking about the recruiting class. He always seems to bring people in. There's a lot of high hopes. You're 0-4 on the road, 13-6 overall. You're in the bottom of the conference. That's a game where, hey, you got to hope Baylor has a bit of an off day, because just to get momentum rolling, like, I'm pretty sure those fans expected to be in the tournament this year. And
yeah,
right now,
you got to bring that 40 minutes of hell. Okay, that was a little, that's basic when it comes to Arkansas.
Right now, they're probably out of it, too. So that's a game where if you're Arkansas, you got to get that dub.
They're probably bringing only about 27 minutes of hell.
True. And another, wow, this one's probably the best matchup on paper. Texas goes to Tennessee. Ooh. You have both teams are very defensive based. This one, I would expect obviously a lower scoring game, but as a paper right now, you have the 10th ranked team against the 4th ranked team. I will take the Volunteers, horns down all day, but I do think that Texas going to Tennessee, again, two strong defensive teams, probably have like kind of a very low 60s battle. But, Chris, that should be a fun one of two of the top Two of the top 10 teams in the country, but two of the top teams in our division. Texas at Tennessee. What does your gut say for that one, my friend?
I'll go Texas. Screw it. I'll go. We've got to be on the opposite a little bit more of this show. Because, yeah, I'll go Texas. I think you're right. It's going to be a grinded out game. It'll be kind of streaky where they'll be like a scoring drought. Then someone will go on like a 13-6 run. But it won't be. I don't see 17-4 runs and stuff like that. I do think it'll come down. I mean, that game will be on the table in the closing minutes. But I'm going to say Texas is randomly. Maybe I'm just biased because they got, Marcus Carr.
And then, after that game is over, you got KU at Kentucky. Again, Kansas has been a little normal this year for their standards, but they're 16-3. UK, the Caps, have been in a bit of a streak. I'm not going to say the word. I would pick, if I had to bet, I would take Kansas. I think that they're a better team. I think this Kentucky team has been on a bit of a streak, but I think just from the whole schedule considered, KU's a better squad. I can't believe I'm saying that. Who do you like in the KU-Kentucky matchup, my friend, which is after the Texas-Tennessee game? That's a great Saturday.
I like how you didn't pick it. You just had me pick it.
I said KU. Unfortunately, I hate to say that out loud. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Maybe I just not used to that. But you're right. I did. I'm lost. I was actually looking at my fucking ESPN just shut down. Just completely just won't. I was trying to look at this other game and it's just gone. God, that one's tough, man. Because you do have one. God, like how many? I mean, I can't keep picking Kansas to lose. You know what I mean? They're going to win. They're not going to lose. Yeah, I got Kansas. I think they'll win. But, man, when that big gets going for freaking Kentucky and they can play some solid defense, they just got to make some shots. I don't know. But, I once again, I know it sounds pretty cliche, but I think that'll be a close game, very competitive game. I don't know what the point spread will be, but it's at Kentucky, right?
Yes.
So that's why I think that place goes nuts. And like you said, they've been playing a little bit better. I don't know. Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to go Kansas just by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But we should shut this puppy down. We're over an hour and 7 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. And make my last pick, I hope Providence beats Nova because I love seeing Nova lose. Anyways, to wrap it up, we have a very fun Big 12 SEC matchup, and as usual, crazy stuff is going to happen. No one thought Houston would lose as a 19-point favorite to Temple, and they did. If you bet that game, props to you. Spend that money. Have some fun. So as usual, we're out. We love the support. Love the feedback, too. Feel free to comment and say that we're making good picks, bad picks, or dumb picks. We don't care. We love the support and the listeners. So until then, stay safe, stay warm, enjoy basketball's whole week. The boys are out tonight. Peace.